Okay, we're up to Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Dalet. Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Dalet. Uma Yitzdak Enosh Im Kel, Uma Yitzke Yilud Isha. This is Bildad's last, yeah.
I saw a minute in the Svardi, instead of saying Perek Yilud, they say
what?
Eov,
I never heard that.
Never heard of that. That is when they finish.
The first cycle?
The first cycle. So then they switch over to the Eov because it's Paranius of all these.
Fascinating. I never heard this before. Okay. That's what it says. So we'll be Mekayim the Minuch. We're in Mekayim the Minuch. Perachafe pasuk dalid hayesh mayitzdak pasuk dalid hayesh enosh mayitzdak enosh im kel umayiske yiludisha. Bildad is continuing to speak to Eov for the last time. Very short perek, very short speech, only six psukim, and the basic theme is his basic theme is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways are beyond our understanding. I mean, he's pretty much in line with what Eov says, but he does mention, the, at least the way the Mitzudos interprets these psukim, as we'll see in detail in a few moments, that a minor imperfection is considered to be a great sin by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So although Eov, you may not realize, you may believe sincerely that you have done nothing wrong, you have to acknowledge that there are microscopic minor imperfections in your ways, in your beliefs. And these minor microscopic imperfections is what has brought about the punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing upon you, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, even a small little imperfection is considered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be very significant. And here he goes on to make that point, the pasuk before as well. Hashem is medaktek im tzadikim kechot ha'sayra.
You believe you're a tzadik.
So according to your belief, you're even more responsible. It goes to prove the point. Being that you believe you're a tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will then hold you accountable even for a teeny little minor imperfection. So, and that's really what we learn in Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel said the same idea. Yesh mispo l'gdudo v'al mi lo yokum oireyu. That just meant to emphasize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was infinite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and therefore, being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to see even the smallest little imperfections. And therefore, Mayitzak Enosh in Kel, Umayiske Yulodisha, how can a human being, how can an Enosh, a frail human being, every time that we use the word Enosh in Tanakh, instead of using the word Adam or the word Ish, Enosh always expresses the frailty of man. Enosh is the weakness of man. Umayitzak, how can an Enosh, a frail human being, believe that he's a righteous before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Im Kel, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umayiske Yiludisha, another expression which is used in Tanakh to express human being's frailty. He's just the product of a woman. A product of a woman meaning of weakness. He comes from a place of impurity. He comes from... He's only has arrived at a later point in time in this world. How can a human being think that he'll be righteous before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So this part is this poetic repetition. We have the word Yitzdak, which is parallel with the word Yiske. We have the word Enosh, which is parallel with the term Yilud Isha. Mitzudos Pasuk Dalet, Uma Yitzdak. Now here the Mitzudos explains the essence, the meat of what Bildad is trying to express to Eov. Now, by the way, I want to point out that this is simple, that the interpretation of the Mitzudos is just one of many interpretations. There are other approaches to understand the depth of what Bildad is trying to convey to Eov. But here he says, what he means to say is, Uvi'im toshiv loymar, im kein ma'adu lo yishadeid ha'maracha. If Eov, if you're going to express frustration, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu interfere with the Maracha, with the constellations, with one's mazel, l'shalim gemul hatzadik, being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ultimate control and authority, so why then does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not choose to interfere with man's mazel? The answer is, Ki mahu adam? Why should Hashem interfere? Why should Hashem reward a human being in this world? Why should the Shbaruch punish a Rosh in this world? Ki mahu adam liyoy sadik imakel? How can it's impossible for a man to declare himself righteous before Kadosh Baruch Hu? Haloy legoidel shiflos adam, due to the lowliness, the incredible lowliness of a person. In contrast to the exaltedness of Kadosh Baruch Hu, so here's the key words, which is the essence of the parish of the Mitzudos, af hama'at min hameri, a small, minor imperfection, a little teeny molecule of rebellion, techoshev larov, is considered to be something significant before Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'ayei imkein tzidkaso, how then can Mir declare his righteousness? Hashem will always find a defect in a human being, and that defect deserves punishment, and a human being has no right to say Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a righteous person. Exactly. Man can never justify himself. There'll always be a minor imperfection, no matter what.
It's like in front of your wife, you never...
What? What do you say?
You're married. You're never right.
Really? It's not what they told me.
Just before and after.
I don't think what he's saying is only a yay show.
Uma yiske. Kofel hadavar b'milay shalas. I always remember this thing. This always sticks out of my mind. Just because you're not married, just because you don't have children, just because, not only for in any matter that you're not, doesn't necessarily mean you don't have an appreciation of the truth. Rav Simcha Wasserman was the son of Elchanan Wasserman, famous Elchanan Wasserman. So he came to America and he went to Eretz Yisrael. He survived the war, and he was the founder of California also.
Yeah.
Came to America, and then ultimately went to Eretz Yisrael, right? Ultimately, they wrote a book many years ago. Arts called with a little not a biography, but like a collection of some of ideas, some of his teachings. So he didn't have any children. He died without any children. So someone wants, and he used to give a lot of shmuzim, a lot of shirim about chinuch habanim. So can you imagine? This is what it says in the book. A Talmud once had the chutzpah, the incredible chutzpah, to say to the Rebbe, Rebbe, what do you know about chinuch habanim? You don't have any children. Can you imagine a chutzpah? So you know what he said? This is amazing. It always sticks out of my mind. He said, you're right, but I was raised by my parents. So I learned, from the way my parents raised me, I learned a lot about chinuch habanim. What? No, but he meant a parent and a child. I guess he meant in that type of relationship. Okay, let's go further. So here we have here, what?
Stephen Hill?
Stephen Hill from Mission Impossible. I don't know
his
who.
His son was the drummer at the
right, Dad Hill, right.
His father. He's a drug actor.
His father was a
TV actor.
Yeah.
He still does it once in a while.
Yeah. Are the old Mission Impossible episodes?
The original.
So which, what?
It was on the law case. There was a court case.
I don't know, Lorna. So Mission Impossible, what did he play? What was his part?
He was the main guy.
Oh, he was the main guy.
He was the leader.
Oh. And his son is this drummer, the long hair.
So he went to that chief. My chabrusa went there one summer.
Stephen Hill, the son.
No,
the father. So what happened to the father?
He came from.
So the father was from?
Yeah.
So the act of Mission Apostle is a Shlomo Shams?
Yeah, knew that he was from, because
he
had
married, right? Originally, he was involved with women and girlfriends, but later when he came from, in law and order, he was just a DA. He had nothing to do with
it.
No, he wouldn't. That was how he got into trouble, because he wouldn't work on Shabbos and Yom Tov eventually.
And he wouldn't let him go.
And he wouldn't, he wouldn't touch a woman, so they fired him.
Interesting. Wow. And his son is Shabbos Shabbos? Stephen Hill, the drummer?
Why not?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Long hair doesn't have anything to do with Shabbos.
The son is still in business. He's very active. I remember years ago he was.
He works for Shelley Lang all the time. Uh-huh. He's the drummer.
He's the drummer. Okay. The drummer. Interesting. The next words of the Mitzvah is Ma Yiske. Kavod Avah B'Mila Shonis. Okay, Rashi, Pasuk Dalit. Uma Yitzdaki L'Risha She'amarta. This that you said, Bichonani, Kizohav Eitze. He's referring back, building is mocking Eov. This that you, Eov, said in the previous parak. If only I can take HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a Din Torah, I would be vindicated. I would come out like pure gold. If they would test me, then Kazakhov Eight say I would emerge as pure gold. Hashem would have nothing bad to say about me. Here Bildad says to you, if you're a fool, that is not true. Hashem would have many bad things to say about you. Hashem would uncover small, minor imperfections. Maybe there are no obvious, horrible sins, but there definitely are small imperfections in your character, in your conduct, and for that you are deserving of whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon you. Pasuk Hey. Now, here he goes on to give examples. Bilvitz, I'll show you an example. Do you, Eof, you're just a human being, you're Lurisha, you're an Enosh. How do you compare to the creatures called the sun, the moon and the stars? The moon is a much greater creature, a much greater living organism than you. Now, we don't think of the moon and the sun and the stars as living creatures, but Chazal very clearly seemed to indicate that they are. They have a neshama, they have a mazel, just like there are human beings that are alive. The moon is also a creature, and there are conflicting mamari chazal if the moon and the sun and the stars and the bria have bechira chafshes. Do they have free will? Do malachim have free will? There's also conflicting mamari chazal that discuss this idea if angels have free will. What are you nodding? There are some indications that they do have free will.
There are all this talk about fallen angels. I've never bought it.
Fallen angels?
Yeah, I never bought it because they don't have free will.
What is that knocking? No
idea. What about in the Maisa Bereishis? Well, what's it called?
You won't find conventional sources.
Yeah, okay.
You have to dig
very deep into esoteric midrashim, which are questionable source. Okay, you're right. But there is such a thing that the Bria, let's talk about a grass, talk about the trees. Hashem said eitz peri, and the trees eitz osa peri. So you see such a thing from there that they had b'chir. What that means exactly, it's not clear. Then you find when it comes to the grasses. The grass made a kal v'choymer, the atzam, the
lemineu. Scientists that have auras, they take pictures of a plant and they say they're alive. They actually have...
They talk to each other.
Right,
the column. There's a male decal and a female decal. They communicate with each other and they reproduce. Okay, but let's talk about just free will. We find in Maisibrachus eitz peri eitz osep. We find with regard to the grasses, they were nasa kal v'chamim ba'atzman. They eliminehu. Each grass came out of its own pore. They did not. There was no irvuvia. There was no mixture. Why? They said to themselves that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the trees that they shall be independent, they shall not come into existence in a state of mixture, and trees by nature are things which are completely separate, so grasses which are all mixed together certainly should be required to distance one from another. And so we find such a concept that they were given free will and they exercised their free will and were rewarded or punished accordingly.
Yamsu didn't want to split.
Yeah, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced it. Okay, these are midrashim. What these things mean again? These are very mystical things. But
we're
touching upon that. Here we're touching upon that in the next two psukim. Hain ad yoreach. Now the word ad is used here in a very unusual way. We always translate the word ad to mean until. Ad bichlal, ad v'loy ad bichlal. Here the word ad means diminished. Okay, very unusual translation of the word ad. He hain behold, ad yoreach v'lo ya'ahil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has diminished diminish the moon to the point where the moon does not shine its own light. Now the word ya'ahil, you would assume, means to give shade. And indeed Rashi in one interpretation will focus on that interpretation, but a similar interpretation, the hay really is extra. And it's like the word ya'ir. Now there's no ratio in the pasuk, but it means in this context to give light, to give off its own source of light. Now why does the moon not give off its own source of light? It was punished. Why was it punished? The Mitzvah will tell us, everyone knows about Chazal, it complained. We have a tradition of Maaseh Bereishis, to each the sun and the moon, each had its own independent source of light. And the moon complained, and as a punishment for its complaint, it was diminished. So here...
What is the text for that medrash without looking?
Possible. Absolutely. And but the point over here, even the builder is making, now this requires very deep thought. I don't know what the depth is, that the sin of the moon is a minor sin. It is so minor, it is microscopic relative to any microscopic sin that a human being can commit. Eve is declaring, I'm right, I'm a tzaddik. So Bildad says, you're not a tzaddik. There has to be deep down in your within you a minor sin, a microscopic sin. And that microscopic sin is large relative to the microscopic sin of the moon. The moon did a sin that is so microscopically small it's impossible for us to fathom.
Isn't the moon right?
What? So you're coming to acknowledge that if you're suggesting the moon is right, there was no sin.
If there was no punishment, then you would have the sun and the moon in the sky at the same time, both giving equal light.
So you're saying there is nothing wrong. Well, we don't know what it means. No, the sun rules by day, and the moon rules by night. And each one gives off an independent source of light. We don't know what this means. This is beyond us. But you've just hit the nail on the head. You've just said, isn't the moon right? So the moon didn't do anything wrong. Ein shnei melachim. There is such a concept of ein shnei melachim meshamshim bekeserecha. Two kings cannot share one crown. You acknowledge. So here, if the moon did nothing wrong, why did Hashem punish the moon by removing its in the source of light?
And why did it do nothing wrong, but...
Oh, so but obviously it did something wrong. There is some teeny, teeny minor imperfection in the moon's conduct, in the moon's words. Now that sin of the moon is microscopic relative to the microscopic sin of Eif. So here, Bilam is making a kal v'chomer. If the moon is guilty in Hashem's eyes because there was some teeny, teeny minor imperfection which we can't even fathom, and it was punished to such a degree where it lost its source of light and it's now nothing relative to the sun. So if you also have sins that are microscopic, so it's no big deal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish you and to cause you to suffer in this world. Your suffering appears to, what he seems to be saying, is nothing compared to the suffering that the moon endures. The moon for almost 6,000 years.
So you take away the light for one day.
One day. The moon suffers the shame. It suffers the shame of nothingness, of not having a source of light. What? United States put a flag on the moon? That's the cover, that's the compensation? It's nothing. It's a terrible state of suffering, and we can learn from the moon a kal v'chomer. That's what the way the Mesudas of Shana Pasuk. Kiddush, well, I don't know. Is that, well, we have Birchas Hachamos, so we recognize the points every 30 days, and we compare Malchus, we compare Golus, HaChodesh, HaZelochem, Rosh Chodoshim. Okay, to some degree it is, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it was severely punished for a sin that we don't even begin to understand. And therefore, Eve, you should learn from the moon. You should learn from the moon that if it suffered, so you also have to realize that you have minor sins, and you also are going to have to suffer to be cleansed from these sins. Hey, and behold,
Because back to what you said earlier about the Chut HaSara.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medachtik with tzadikim kichot hasara, teeny minor imperfections. Hein behold, ad yoreach, Hashem has diminished, ad, has diminished the moon, the size of the moon, its scope, its power, its source of own light, velo, to the point where no longer ya'ahil, it no longer shines, and no longer brings forth its own source of light. Furthermore, another example, v'choychavim, lo zaku ve'enof, stars are not righteous in the eyes of Hashem. Why? So there are many interpretations. So we have exploding stars, right? Is there not such a thing that we have stars that just all of a sudden planets and stars that just explode, they disappear? Or they're struck. We have stars that are struck by asteroids and these stars disappear. Or some interpret this to mean that there are eclipses, different types of eclipses in the sky when their light is dimmed, or what's a black hole? What do you mean by that?
The light sucks.
It just sucks, pulls in the light. So okay, so it takes away its light. There is such a concept of stars being destroyed, their light being diminished. What did the stars possibly do? They did nothing. I mean, not that we know of. We don't even have a pasuk. At least when it comes to the moon, we have a pasuk that the moon complained. But obviously, the fact that we learn that stars are being destroyed, are being obliterated, their light is being diminished, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has found something wrong with them. They're guilty of a sin. What sin could they possibly have done? Well, we don't understand. But it's a Kal Vachomer, certainly a human being which is more prone to sin is guilty and has to suffer. So, V'Kochavim lo zaku ve'enof. And one thing that's very interesting over here, I just want to point out, is, and it's not on the page, is that there is a Maimer Chazal, I don't remember where I saw this, we once discussed this, the only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the stars is a comfort, is a company for the moon. When Hashem created Ma'aseh Bereishis, there was no plan, it was not part of the blueprint that there should be stars. There was meant to be a sun. So it says in the Medrash, I don't remember where, it says it somewhere. There was meant to be a sun and a moon. Period. Maybe the planets as well. When Hashem diminished the moon, the moon was sad. So it's compensated with company. And the stars serves as company to the moon. So
you also needed them for the bracha of Abraham.
No, that was after the fact. After the fact that there are stars, so the Kosh Baruch Hu then, and he says, okay, you can maybe tie in some medrash, some idea what the connection is. But the Chazal seemed to indicate that the stars were not meant to be created. Here, it doesn't really seem to mention that. Here, it just says, as somehow you want to tie that into the pasuk, I don't know how you could tie it in, that hein ad yerech v'loyal, v'chacham lo zaku v'enav, unless you want to say that they had no merit to exist in their own right. Maybe that's how you want to interpret the pasuk. Their existence is worthless. They have no merit to exist in their own right. The only reason why they exist is just to serve as a company to the moon. Okay, that may be the planets. So maybe the planets is not significant enough to serve as a company to the moon. Maybe the planets are, you know, you have to. You only associate with your own kind. You don't.
The way I see in the Metzudas, he's trying to say that each star is a sun. It's very, very bright.
But
we don't see this brightness. What do we see? So you can be the biggest sun. You think you're the biggest brightness, but someone who's a couple of light years away, you're a
you're nothing. Okay, let's see it inside. Let's read it inside. Pasek, hey, Vahein ad Yerayach Hine. So first he discusses the moon. What is the moon? What does it mean ad? Hine, heavier. So right away he says the word heavier means to remove. Ad means to remove. Let's jump to the left side, to the Mesuda Sion. Ad, inyin hasara. Okay, v'lo oda olav shachal. Oda means to remove. A shachal is a serpent. The serpent was not removed. So we have the word oda, but there it's used with a hey at the end. Here we're taking a shortened form of the word oda. Kemo asher ovar. Targum unculus de Oda. Ovar, so it seems to be saying the word ad is an Aramaic translation of the word ovar. Ovar means to pass, to remove. And so here it means that that the moon has been removed. Back to the Mitzvot of it. Hinei ha'avir. Hashem has removed ha'itzer or ha'irech, the light of the moon. Leval toyer. Kishir ha'oira asher samba kishabara. According to the light that was meant to be. Vuhu al shwai. Why was the sun, why was the moon punished? Vuhu al shekona shekina b'shemesh. It was jealous. There was a degree of jealousy of the sun, the amra. Even though here is the point that according to the Mitzvot, the theme that he brings out, this unique to the Mitzvot. If you look at the Mefarshim I mentioned before, they don't seem to go with this approach. But he here goes on to say, this sin is so minor, it's so microscopic. Umalosam haloi gedoyla. But the greatness of the im ki hoya ma'at min hameri umalosam halo gedola, the greatness of the moon is very much. Of the moon is very much. Nevertheless, the greatness of the moon is nothing. Keneged Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu sees this minor imperfection, the af hamat, a small minor imperfection, even though the object that we're discussing is extremely great, has great milos. Nevertheless, the minor imperfection techoshev larov is considered very great in Hashem's eyes and deserves to be dealt with in a significant way, and that's why he was punished. The next, what else do we have in this pasuk? The kochavim, the stars. Kol hakochavim kulam im haroiv zoharam einam zakim einaf. All of the stars, with their abundance of light, are not righteous. The einaf. Uchumohem ke'ayin l'mulo, they're nothing keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're nothing, and therefore, if you follow the same idea, there is something imperfect. There's some defect. Rav Shrab elaborates the second part of the pasuk based upon the first part of the pasuk of the moon. There is some minor imperfection in the stars, and therefore the stars, that's why they've been punished. We find in the Bria they've been diminished, they explode, they disappear. It's because Kadosh Baruch Hu has found in them some minor imperfection. According to what I've told you from the Medrash, maybe it means also that the stars are even a low madrega, they're not even worthy of being in an existing period. The only reason why they came into existence is because to give a service company to the moon. But that also is a statement that they're nothing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you, Eve, who are even a greater nothing, you only exist for a short period of time in this world, and you're full of sin, you are deserving of punishment. Now he sums up, yeah?
Do kochavim always mean the stars, that is to say the far-off stars, or
the planets?
The planets.
Not necessarily. I don't know the answer. Maybe you're right. Maybe sometimes it means the planets. The seven planets. The Kech
V'Leches. The seven bodies.
Mars, Saturn.
The modern, including the sun, planets, or how do you see planets?
Okay, I don't know.
See them in the sky just like you see stars.
Yeah. They just drop bigger. Yeah, I don't know. Chazal do give significance to the planets. Chazal, they discuss the planets, they represent different concepts, and then there are the stars. Okay, so here you want to see the kochavim of here is a catch-all, refers to the planets and the stars, perhaps. Now he winds down, pasuk vav, af, so certainly, if the sun and the moon, if the moon, before we have to read the Rashi. Rashi is a different interpretation of what it means, Yahil. Pasukein Rashi, Ad Yoreach, Kemoivloy Oda Olav Shachal. Same thing as what the Mitzvah said. Ad means to diminish. That the Shachal, the serpent, did not go away. So here also means that Hashem has diminished the power of the moon. The Lo Yahil, and it does not shine. Kemoivloy Yeholu Oiram, their light will not shine. The Aleph Zoe is asking a question. Yohel, the correct spelling should be Yud He Lamed. Yohel means to shine. So Rashi is bothered, why is there an Aleph? So it's not a Kasha. So sometimes we eat an Aleph, sometimes we eat an Aleph just for padding or for stylistic purposes. The Aleph Zo, Bo Kmo Ule Adif, Esnaf Sheikh, to cause pain to your soul. The Aleph is extra. It could have said Ule Vilo div. Div is the correct is the sherish. The Aleph is not part of the sherish, and the Aleph is just there for padding for stylistic purposes. Aleph Yisera. Okay, so that's Rashi's interpretation. The pasuk means to shine. Lishna Achrina, a second interpretation. Lo Yahil means a tent. A tent casts shade. And the moon will not cast shade. What do you mean cast shade? The moon doesn't cast shade. The moon casts light. It means it spreads light. And then when you have a tent, there is shade. You only can have shade if there is light. So it's secondary. You only can have shade if there's no light. If it's pitch black dark outside, then there's no such thing as shade. If there's light, and then you intercept the light with a machitza, then you have shade relative to the part of the earth, the part of the area outside that has light. So here it means lo tzel. It will no longer be a source of producing shade, which basically means the same thing. Kishayna meir. Because if there's no light, ain't light cell. Because if you don't have light, then you don't have the ability to produce shade. However, he concludes, I don't like this second interpretation. I prefer the second interpretation takes more literally. The aleph becomes part of the shirish, because then it means a tent, which means in this context it means shade. I prefer the first interpretation, where it means to give light, and the aleph is not part of the shirish. The Aleph is just there for stylistic purposes. However, I've heard both of these interpretations. Now, by the way, we do have such a concept in Shulchan Aruch about the shade of the moon. Right? Isn't there, on when you do Kiddush Levana, does anyone remember this halacha, the Shish halacha, the Kiddush Levana for Tishrei? I think it's Shulchan Aruch. And if you can't see your shade, if you can't see if your shadow is not double your height, then it means a person's not going to live out the year. I think it's, we once learned this. We learned this inside. It's wrote down in the Ramah in Hilchos Kiddush Levana. If I'm not mistaken, there's a Ramah that talks about this. So and all the poskim say that the Zman HaZeh, no one should dare try this. We don't know what this means. It doesn't mean anything, and we don't know what this Zman HaZal means. But there is something. I just want to point out, you do find something that there's an idea of shade associated with the moon. The moon casts light. It sheds. It brings forth light, and a person stands in its presence. He casts shadow. So that's the same idea. Cell. Okay, it's shadow. Your shadow. What is a shadow? Your shadow is your body providing shade. What is your shadow? Your shadow is your body providing shade for something else. It's the same idea. That's what he says. It's a cell. Same idea. The Yahil. Okay, so I just want to make out that point. The next time you come across that halacha in the Ramah, in Hilchos Kiddush Levana, you will reference this pasuk over here. Hein ad yerech v'lo ya'ahil. There is some connection between shadow and the moon.
Is that the reason why, strictly speaking, you're not supposed to look at the moon?
You are supposed to look at the moon. Before you begin. Before you begin, you're not supposed to daven. You look at the moon, you acknowledge the moon is there, then you daven, you don't pray to the moon. Avodah Zarah. It's Avodah Zarah to pray to the moon.
Because it's ashamed of the chet of
the it's a remembrance, of the chet, Eitz Hadas, Noshim, all these different reasons. Okay, these are mystical things. I don't know what these things are all about. Okay, let's go to now, we wind down the paragraph. Af. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so demanding and is so strict and is medactic kichut hasara with the moon and the stars, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, as it says in Pasuk Gimel Hayesh Mispar Lig Dudav Yalmi Lo Yakum Oirehu, so therefore af certainly al achas kama v'kama ki eno shrima. Certainly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to find fault with a human being in Enosh, a frail human being who is nothing more than Rima. His destiny is to lie in the grave and be consumed by worms. Uven Adam, he repeats himself, Uven Adam is a repetition for an Enosh, parallels to Enosh. He is a Tole'ah, is another word for a Rima, is a worm. There is no hope for man, and therefore, Eov, you should not think for one moment that you are righteous in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and this being infinite works to uncover minor imperfections. And those minor imperfections are glaring before in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and are deserving of great punishment. Pasuk Vav in the Mitzvos. Pasuk Vav says, the af the kol shekain ha adam, a human being asher harima toichlenu, will be consumed by worms. Ha bazuim od, man is despised mul hamakom, relative to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Eich lo yichoshev minenu ma'at min hameri, how could you not think for one moment, make a mistake and not realize that a small amount of rebellion that is found in man, lorov, is considered a lot significant in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, being that Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Yay in Kain Sidka, so how dare you then think that you can take Hashem to a Din Torah and be vindicated? Hashem will find, uncover your sins. They may be minor to you, but being that Hashem is infinite, that opens up, that makes them very great in the eyes of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Uven Adam Tolea, man is a worm. Kofal Adavar, Bimiloi Shoinais. What is the summary of this very small perek? Hoile Mehamaneha, what is the review of this response? The last response of Bildad, the last response of the three friends, Ki Yoimar, he means to say, Hein B'yemes Yikonu L'moko Maruchas Hashemayim. The truth is, the Mazolois are under the authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bildad is not denying that there is something in this world called the Mazol. Chazal make it very clear, there are Mazolos. A person is born with a certain predisposition to do certain things. A person does have the Mazol. However, the Mazolos are under the authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In any moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change a person's mazel. And don't make any mistake, they do not operate independently, they operate under his authority. Why? Why is that so? Why don't the mazalos, why are they not independent? Don't they have bechira chofshes? Don't they have free will? They do, possibly, yes, they do have free will, but they're afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im miyiras haroimimus, im mipachad oinish. The Mazalos are afraid of Hashem's exaltedness, and they're afraid of being punished for disobeying. Aval, however, ein la'odam gemul ma'al hamakom, man does not have any right, any demands on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to receive reward or to demand punishment of a rasha. Ki l'gadol roimimus hamakom, due to Hashem's exaltedness, v'shiflus ha'odam, the lowliness of man, af mat min haneri, a small amount of rebellion, yechoshev l'rov, is considered to be significant before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Da'yei im kein tzidkoso, and therefore how dare man demand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is righteous. Rashi, Pasik, there is no Rashi. Okay, now we go to Eov's response. Pasik Perichova, Vayan Eov, Vayoymar. Eov response. Eov's, the main theme is that Eov says to Bildad, there's nothing you've told me that I don't already know. Have we not heard that before? And he goes on to say, what are you trying to tell me here? Give me six psukim to praise the exaltedness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is infinite, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain, what was your big novel idea, Pasuk Gimel, Hayesh Mispar Ligedudov, is there a number to Hashem's Malachim? Is this the best you can possibly say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite nature? Bildad, this is what you meant to say. let me outdo you. I will give you more examples of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's exalted nature, of his infinite abilities and power. And therefore, there's nothing you're telling me I don't already know. Nevertheless, I'm still a tzaddik. That's what he says. I'm not making this up. Let's see. What have you, how have you assisted a person that has no strength? Now, the one that has no strength here is himself, is Eiv. And Eiv is using himself as a representative, as a representative of mankind.
You've been saying the whole time, how have you helped me?
Right, have you helped me,
well,
correct?
Yeah, I mean, you've been saying that.
Okay, that's true. Okay. How are you helping me? But he's saying your words are not adding anything new that I don't already know. But he's saying a little bit deeper. Leloikach means I am a human being and I have no strength. I'm a weakling. I am nothing, absolutely zero, keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now here we'll see from the context, he doesn't just mean himself. He means to use himself as a marshal for mankind. Just like I am a nothing, I am a human being that is l'loy koyach, I have no strength. Every single creature in this world is a weakling keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the words of strength the strength that you're trying to give me is not going to help, because it's a black hole. I'm not capable of receiving strength keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So don't try to help me. Me ozarta. How do you think you can possibly help a human being who is l'loy choyach, who does not have any strength? Now, next part. Now, we have to repeat the word meh. Meh, I'm repeating it to make it simple. Meh hoishata zeroya. How do you think you can save with strength low oaths to a creature that's not capable of having strength? You're wasting your time, you're wasting your breath by trying to be mechazekni. Next, he repeats himself. Let's just read the next pasuk just to get into the theme. Me yo'atzta l'loy chochma.
How is he strengthening?
By giving advice. By giving advice and trying to explain. To explain what my problem is, and then everything will, I'll understand, and everything will be solved.
We're trying to break down his position rather than empower.
Well, by explaining it to him, he'll come to an understanding, and he will no longer be bitter. If he'll understand why, that's what Eve is striving for. All of these parakim, he's striving to understand. And if he will succeed in understanding why this is happening, then he will no longer complain. He will make peace with himself in the situation. So he's saying, "I'm not capable. I'm not capable of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. I'm not capable of being strengthened. I'm not capable of having power." Ma yo'atzta. Ma here is the same thing as meh. Same exact word, just different vowel. How do you think that you can provide counsel, understanding to a human being who is incapable of understanding? We're no better than an animal. Man is no better than an animal. So, how do you think you can give understanding to a human being that is lelo chachma, that does not have the ability to understand? Now, the last...
He's actually building on what Gildad said.
Yeah.
Gildad said, because Baruch was infinite and you're a low life.
I know that.
But not that I know that, but therefore I can't understand, you can't explain anything to me because... We're not going to understand anything that you say because of the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you.
Okay, that's really what I mean to say. That's I think I'm saying the same thing you're saying. Let's see the last words. Let me see the mitzvahs. Vissushne. The last few words of the pasuk gimel are a little more difficult. It doesn't follow the same. Doesn't exactly follow the same theme, but the meaning is pretty much the same. Vissushia. Vissushi means wisdom. Wisdom is the same thing as the pasuk of Yo'atzta. You're attempting to provide wisdom, larov, in abundance, hodata, you are trying to make known. You're trying to make known in abundance wisdom, but the problem is, self-understood, that there is no one listening. You don't have an audience. And in other words, your words are nonsense. Okay, let's see in more detail the mitzvahs, how he explains these difficult pasuk beis. Pasuk beis... Ne Ozarta. Mahu ho'ezer asher nasata bidvarecha. What is the help that you're attempting to provide with your words? Lemi to who? She'en boi koyach me'at le'atzmo lohovin amitas ha'hashkocha. To a person that does not have the ability to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Ho'ishata. Milas ma. The word ma that appears in the beginning of the pasuk has to be repeated. Mishameshes b'shnayim is repeated a second time. Koimer, and the pasuk really reads, really meant is meant to be read as ma hoishata. How? Why are you attempting to provide salvation, strength, lemi to whom to a recipient she'ein bo oz bizro, to one that does not have strength in his arm, lohovin me'elov, to understand on his own. Your words are not going to accomplish anything because according to you, that man is nothing connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how then do you expect me to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways? I'm not capable of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite relative to man. V'chofel hadavar b'mila shenas. Pasuk Gimel, ma yo'atzta, ma hu ho'etza shenasata l'mi shein b'chachma. What is this counsel that you're giving to a person that's not capable of understanding wisdom? Ladas misichlo, to understand from his own intellect. Visoshia, v'chi hoidata, chochmas elokus. Are you attempting to provide divine wisdom b'shir meruba, in an abundance? That's the pasuk. It's a rhetorical statement. Visoshia larov hodata. Are you trying to put into me the wisdom of God to understand why this is happening to me? But you yourself, Bill, have told me that I'm not capable of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. So why are you trying to do this? He repeats the same thing multiple times, like a person that mocks his friend. You repeat yourself in order to make litzanis of the one that you're speaking to. Rashi, Pasik. There is no Rashi in these Pasik. Okay, Pasik Dalet. Esmi higata milin, same theme. To whom are you giving over words? The nishmas mi yotza mimeka. Whose neshama is coming forth from you? In other words, who told you this? What you're telling me is nothing new. You're telling me something that has come from another source. Let's see if it's supposed to dalit. Esmi, elmi, higarta tvarim ke'ela. To whom are you saying these words? What he means to say is, v'chiyimotzei mi she'eino yoidam, me'atzmo, at she'yitztarech l'dvarecha. Are you? Is there a person that doesn't already know this, that we need you to reveal? You're the chacham from the manashtana. You're telling me something I don't already know. These are different expressions of mockery. The nishmas mi, nishiva saruach, the blowing of wind, shel mi yotza mimeka. What does that mean exactly? That's an expression. It's not to be taken literally. Mimi shamata dvarim ho'ela. Who told you to say this to me? When someone mocks someone, you say to them, oh, you're such a chacham. Who taught you this? Who's the one that put these words of wisdom in your mouth, in your mind, to say this to me? It's an expression of mockery. Uvederech lag omar. Now he goes on to say, now here, Pasuk, strong Pasuk, let's see the Rashi first. V'nishma sinning thing as Mitzvah, v'nishma mi yotze mimeka, mi som b'cho haruach hazeh, she yotze mipicha, mi lo yoda zos, who put these words in your mouth? I already know this. It's an expression of mockery. Now here he changes gears. I'yav. And he says as follows. Here, Eve, what he says is, you're telling me in the previous parak that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite and man is a nothing. And therefore, a human being should not think he's capable of understanding Hashem's ways. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees microscopic defects in man's mind, in man's actions. And therefore, he deserves punishment. Bildad, let me tell you something. I know better than you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. And I'm going to give you examples. Number one, Pasuk Hey, Harifahim Yichoy Lalu Mitachas Mayim V'Shoichneihem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings life to the dead. Okay, the Rifahim here means the dead. We'll see that in a moment. Yichoy Lalu means labor pains. labor pains, and this is a borrowed term which means brings life, mitachas mayim, from beneath the waters, v'shoichneihem, and their neighbors. Let's see the mitzudos. What does he mean to say with this expression? Pasuk hei koimer. Koimer is a stop sign. This is not pasuk, not to be taken literally. But what he means to say is as follows. In Basel Asabe Mirerumus Akel, if you build on, are trying to tell me that Hashem is infinite, Hine yoiser mize yodati. You're talking to the wrong guy, because I already know this better than you. Vasaper gamani v'oimer hine hagehenim mokum hamesim. Gehenim, purgatory, the place of the dead. Asher yesh bo chalolim rabim. So here the word chalolim, the way he translates it, is chalolim means the slain, the bodies. Rabim shiva medurig hen. These are the seven levels. We all hear about this. There are seven different chambers in Gehenim. V'hu mitachas hamayim. Where is Gehenim? Gehenim is beneath the waters, underneath the oceans. V'asheichnim bohem. And those that dwell there. Ki pesach echad yesh legehenim bayam. There is a pesach. There is an opening, one opening to Gehenim in the yam. So v'shochneh means the people that live harifoyim yicholalu. In Gehenim yicholalu, according to the Mitzudos, means cholol v'novov, there's hollow. Okay, I told you yicholalu means that comes to life. That's a different interpretation. We'll come to that in a few moments. But harifoyim yicholalu means, no, but he's not saying that. Over here, according to the Mitzudos, yicholalu means it's hollow. They are chambers. Harifoyim yicholalu, there is a hollow cavity. There are hollow cavities of Gehenim. The word Rifan means Gehenim. Mitachas mayim, that are beneath the waters. V'shoichneyam, and beneath the different objects which are, that dwell in the water, which refers to the fish or the sea creatures that are deep, deep down them.
The vents, and they have all these little special
creatures. So first he described that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Now he means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite from the depths to the highest heights. When we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being infinite, we commonly refer to the heavens, because that we're much more familiar with. We look at the heavens, and we see in the heavens, we see the expanse and the Hubble telescope, and the world is expanding and it gets greater and greater. But Eve here is saying something very profound. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite in the depths as well. Okay, that's a whole different concept. How could that possibly be? But we already have, we have defined the earth, we can measure the earth. No, there is something infinite to the depths of the earth that we are not fully aware of. And that's how it starts off. There's the Rifaim, there is Gehenim, which Yecholalu, Hashem has hollowed out. He has created seven cavities. Where is this? This is below us, mitachas mayim, below the water, v'shoichneihem, and below the different creatures that live down below. Now let's see Rashi first. Rashi says harifoyim. Rifoyim is Gehenim. Why would we call Gehenim with the word Rifoyim? So Rashi here says something very, very important. It means hamarpe es habrios. Gehenim is a place of refuah, of healing for creatures. Now we'll come down in a few moments. Yicholalu. I'm going to come down in a few moments. Yicholalu. Shiva chalolim shalol. There are seven cavities. There's seven different chambers down there. Mitachas mayim v'shachneim be'imkei amokim, in the great depths. V'gam hu. Now then, that leads into the next pasuk, which we'll leave for one moment. Now I told you recently I read this book. It's a great book called The Afterlife. Was written by Talmud of Rabbi Shalom Kamenetsky, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in the Philadelphia Yeshiva. And he gave a series of shiurim over a long period of time about studying all the Mamori Chazal that shed light on what happens to the neshama after a person dies. And there, among the many very interesting things he says, we find in Chazal a concept called Gilgul Neshamos and a concept called Gehenim. Person leaves this world, Achamei Vyashem. So some Amar Chazal say, no, the Nesham has to go to Gehenna. why Gehenim? Because he has done Averis. On the other hand, we find this concept that the Neshama has to come back to this world to do it again, to rectify things that he made, all his mistakes, reincarnation. So the question is, one of Shach, if there's reincarnation, then there is no Gehenim. If there's Gehenim, there's reincarnation. How do the two work together? So some will joke and tell you that coming back to this world is Gehenim. Okay, there's truth to that also. But he says something. He says something very, 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 very fascinating. This made an impression on me. He says, when a neshama comes to the next world, Olam HaEmes, there are two problems. There are certain things that the neshama never got around to do at all. Person had a mission in this world, and there are certain parts of that mission he didn't even scratch the surface. And then there are parts of the mission which he accomplished, but he did not accomplish it properly. He did things that he was supposed to do, but it was not done l'shem shamayim. Rav Kamenetsky, he writes, there's a lot of interesting sources for these ideas. He says, Gehenim is to cleanse things that a person accomplished, but are imperfect. Person did a mitzvah, right? He was put on this world to put on tefillin. But he didn't put on tefillin l'shem shamayim. He just wrote mitzvah sanashim elimuda. He just didn't think very much, and he was not respectful to the tefillin, and he didn't do it the proper way. So he's not coming back to this world again to put on tefillin. He already did it, but the tefillin, the ma'isa hamitzvah, was lacking. That needs Gehenim. He sent to Gehenim, and in Gehenim they purify the impurities of the mitzvah. But let's say the person never put on tefillin. Period. He was put into this world to wear tefillin. He didn't do it. He just missed. He took a wrong turn somewhere in his life. He never did it. Then there's reincarnation. Then there's something called reincarnation. So that fits very much in line with what it says here. Gehenim is not a place. Gehenim is a place of refuah. There is an ailment. There is a defect in the mitzvah, in the performance of the mitzvah, and it requires cleansing. That's the word of Gehenim. Gehenim is called refoim, miloshen of refuah, hamarpe es habrios. It heals the body. But if the body didn't do what it was supposed to do, it didn't accomplish anything, then there's a whole different thing which he calls reincarnation.
I think the difference might be between Adam
and Chavir and Lamokom.
Yeah, because another person can come back and correct it.
Okay, it's a different idea. Okay.
You can't really correct it.
Okay, all right. Maybe that borders on the same idea. Okay, you have to. I don't know. It's interesting. Okay, now let's go one more pasuk. Oroim Sheol Nedo V'Ein Ksus La'Avadon. The grave, or really, this one here, the grave. The Sheol means the core of the earth. The Sheol, we call the Sheol the grave. But here it means the core of the earth is naked. It's naked negdo before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ein kisus la'avadon. There is not covering things that are destroyed. Now what does that mean? It means that we think, go down to the core of the earth. Go deep, deep, deep down. How many miles down can you go until you hit the core of the earth? It's covered by so many layers of rock and minerals and who knows what's down there. So to the human being, it's covered. With all of our technology, we know a lot less about what goes on below the earth than what's going on millions and billions of miles away. To a human being, it's concealed. But to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's exposed. It's bare naked. The Sheol, the core of the earth before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is bare naked. And there's nothing that's covering la'avadon, things that we consider to be completely destroyed. Right, we have a tradition, the Tosfos Yontif says, that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world that we know, and Hashem, on this very planet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had many worlds, dinosaurs. The Tosfos Yontif says, very controversial idea, is that the world is really millions and billions of years old. Whatever it is, there's a possibility, there's such an approach. It's not 6,000 years old. It's only 6,000 years old since Hashem created Adam. But before that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created many worlds and destroyed them here on this world. And those worlds consisted of dinosaurs and...
It says in the Pasuk, Ki Elishamim Ki Yom Echad.
Okay, but even before that, even going back before that, whatever that means, there were other creatures. All of those things are deep, deep, deep down. That's when we dig down, we discover fossils and things that we don't understand. It came from a different world before our time. Those things are called avdon, if you want to take the pasuk loosely. Things that have been long destroyed. To a human being, we have no way to understand what these things are all about. But before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're covered, they're exposed, it's naked. There's no concealment. So the Musar Haskel that Eov is telling Bildad is, if this is true with regard to the world, the infinite nature of Kadosh Baruch Hu, al achas kama v'kama, every single teeny minor imperfection of man is exposed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're not telling me anything I don't already know. I can say this concept much more eloquently than you can. But nevertheless, I'm a tzaddik. I didn't do anything wrong.
What I don't understand is, with sometimes you hear on the radio the guy would say, oh, this is from so many
4 billion years ago.
Years ago. And we say, Apocalypse, Apocalypse.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. In Torah and science today, there's a lot more sensitivity to among in the Haredi world. There's definitely a lot more sensitivity to appreciate how complex science is, and to bridge what the secular world understands with what it says in the Torah. They definitely look by Meislam, and he put out that encyclopedic book, Torah. What is it called? Torah and Science. Only about a half a year ago. It's like a textbook. It's like a textbook. It's dense, and you know he presents in a very eloquent and clear way the position of all the Gedolei Yisrael throughout the ages, that it's not necessarily a contradiction to take some ideas of evolution and the ideas that secular scientists have presented and to see that they're not necessarily a conflict with what Chazal have to say. Okay, so this is the theme. Let's read the Pasuk Vav and then quickly in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Vav, Arom, V'im hu, V'im ki hu, B'oimek haaretz, although the core, Gehenim, is in the depth of the earth, Mitachas lamayim, Im kol zeh, Yoidea hamokoyim, Kol ba, Ki ilu hois, Arom, Mibli machsek, L'shpoch, who's aware of everything that goes on there as if it's exposed. If it seems that the Mitzudos over here is continuing Gehenim, this is a continuation of describing Gehenim. Everything that goes on in Gehenim, Hashem is fully aware of. There's nothing concealed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Vav and Rashi, Arom Shol Negdo, Lodas, Hashem is aware, Viliros, this Kol Mashe B'Socho, everything that is taking place in Gehenim. All right, we'll stop here.